Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday. You know what the lead story is. Dak didn't get his money. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Yes, new haircut, finally. 4 months, been a while. It's great to be in. Joy Taylor's off today and tomorrow. Veteran newsman John Goulet filling on Herdline News. So I think it's really interesting what happened yesterday. I never thought, I didn't buy into these reports. Dak was going to get $36, $37 million a year for 5 years. I thought that was, he's a good player. I don't think you pay good players. He's a good player. I don't think you pay good employees great money. I've worked at 5 different companies. That's not what any company in any business I've ever been involved with does. They want to pay good people, good money, and great people, the rare great employee, great money. They don't love doing it, but, like, you know, you got to do it. So here's, when I look at Dak Prescott, this is on Dak Prescott. He tried to get everything. And I'll give you an example. Tom Brady never really been given the great weapons. Aaron Rodgers doesn't get an owner or any great defenses. Russell Wilson gets an outdated offense and bad offensive lines. Even Patrick Mahomes didn't get all the money. You don't get everything. Cowboys offered him $33 to $35 million for 5 years. He wanted 4. He tried to thread the needle and get everything. You don't get everything. In my business, the 2 people in media that have gotten the closest to getting everything are Oprah Winfrey and Howard Stern. And Howard Stern was fired and then eventually had to leave terrestrial radio to go to XM Sirius and build his audience back up. And now in his 50s or 60s, he gets everything. It wasn't easy. Oprah Winfrey was told you're not good enough, had to fight to build her brand. And eventually to get control and ownership, she had to leave television and go on her own. I know the guy that ran her network for years, my buddy Eric Logan. It was a struggle early to build Oprah's, empire on television, her own network up. And those are the 2 that got everything. But they didn't get everything for a long time. They had obstacles, critics, naysayers. One was fired, had to build their audience, had to leave the business they loved. Terrestrial radio for Stern and television for Oprah. They had to leave it until they got everything after 30 years in the business. Think of all the things Dak's gotten. He got an owner that spends money. I mean, look at how the Cowboys offensive line is paid. Good hell, he pays everybody. He got the biggest brand, a state with no state income tax. He's had a top 2 to 3 offensive line every year, a top 1 or 2 running back in the league, always better than average weapons. He went into Jason Garrett, an offensive-minded coach, as the league was becoming more offensive. He got stability in the franchise. Jones family's been there forever. Stephen, Jerry, Charlotte. Jason Garrett was, you know, almost a member of the family. He got stability. An owner with money, an unbelievable brand, the best offensive line in football. He got the best running back or second best running back in football. He's had better than average weapons. He got an old Jason Witten, an older Dez Bryant, but now he's got a young Amari Cooper. He got Randall Cobb last year, Michael Gallup. Now they drafted him another receiver, CeeDee Lamb. You don't get everything. And the Cowboys didn't offer him a poor deal. They offered him $33 to $35 million for 5 years, $100 million guaranteed. They didn't lowball him. That's to me, a little more than he deserves or has earned. You don't get every... Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player in the history of the world. He got a cheap owner and a petty GM. And it took him years to finally get Phil Jackson as a coach. He ran through coaches. LeBron James is probably the first or second best basketball player in the history of the planet. Now he's got a team that I don't think has great ownership or a great front office. Cleveland didn't have a great owner. He's run through some really average coaches. And when he finally got to Miami, where you got Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade was older and out of his prime. You know, and the league's got a salary cap. You can't get every player you want. Guys got to take pay cuts to get there. He got Ray Allen. He was past his prime. He got Shane Battier. He was past his prime. He got Mike Miller. He was past his prime. He got Udonis Haslam. He's past his prime. And that's LeBron and Michael Jordan. You don't get everything. The Cowboys made a real offer here. They just wanted 5 years. That's how Jerry rolls. The Cowboys like to give long contracts. A lot of players like stability. Tyron Smith's got like a 10-year deal. A lot of players take less. Patrick Mahomes, like, I'll take less money. Give me more stability. It's like a baseball contract. You don't get those in the NFL. But Jerry's one of the owners that'll give you extra years. But Dak wanted everything. He wanted, I mean, give me a break on this. James Slater reported yesterday that Dak came, made a last-ditch effort. Dak and the agent made a last-ditch, last-hour effort. What does that tell you? That tells me Dak made a mistake. He thought Jerry was going to cave. And let me tell you something. When millionaires take on billionaires, you know who wins. Jerry didn't cave. You can't call Jerry cheap. He pays everybody. He was willing to pay Dak $100 million. You can't say Jerry didn't like him. Jerry likes Dak. He said it publicly. May not like his agent. But you don't get everything. Aaron Rodgers doesn't get an owner or a defense. Look at Seattle's offense. Russell Wilson doesn't get support offensively. It's almost antagonistic. Brady's taking pay cuts. He never has great weapons. He had great weapons for about 2 years. For about 2 years, he had Randy Moss and Welker, and that unraveled. I mean, nobody gets everything. Even Mahomes, you know? That defense wasn't very good when he first got to Kansas City. Played good at the end of last year. But they're paying he and Chris Jones. He's not going to get everything. They're not going to be able to re-sign every offensive lineman. They're not going to be able to get every pass rusher on the market. And he's not getting every penny. I mean, this to me, Dak made a mistake. I mean, if you go to Dak's 4 years in the NFL, if you line the stats up, he is a good B to B plus quarterback. When did he struggle? Year two. Year two is when he didn't get everything. Year two is when Zeke got suspended for 6 games and the offensive lineman, the star at the moment, Tyron Smith, was out for a couple of games. In the second year when he didn't get everything, he got some instability at running back, instability at left tackle. What happened? He wasn't as good. He couldn't carry the team. And there's only about 7 or 8 guys that can carry the team, so I don't blame Dak Prescott. I mean, I also don't blame Dak Prescott for thinking he's a little better than he is. I think he's a B to a B-plus quarterback. He probably thinks he's an A, but I'm not going to blame him for that because I think I'm better than my bosses do. Everybody thinks they're better. You think you're a better husband. Your wife thinks she's a better wife. We all think we're a little better than we are. Every actor thinks they're deserving to be Tom Hanks or Denzel, you know? Okay? So I'm not going to blame Dak for that. He's young. He thinks he's a little better maybe than he is, but that's okay. We all do, and he's young. And by the way, I like that confidence. He's a gamer. I like him. But he's trying to get, man, you go look at the stars in America. I mean, Obama becomes president. He can't get anything through Mitch McConnell. He got everything. I got what I want. And then halfway through, it's like, I give up. I can't get anything passed. Nobody gets everything. Even the NFL. Oh, they get everything they want. It's called COVID. OTA is gone. Preseason probably out. You know, you don't get everything. There's always an obstacle. There's always this. There's always that. I mean, if you really, and I'm not saying Dak's not grateful, but good God, he inherited Jerry, no state tax, the biggest brand, best offensive line, best running back, stability, an offensive coach. Good God, he's had Dez, and he's had Witten, and he had Randall Cobb, and he had Cole Beasley, a good slot receiver. And now he's got this emerging star in Michael Gallup, and then he has Amari Cooper. I mean, a lot of people were surprised they paid for Amari Cooper. People were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's paying a lot for Amari Cooper. Damn, Jerry paid it. And he had $100 million on the table here. But he wanted 5 years, and Dak wanted 4. Come on, man, you're trying to thread the needle. Well, Dak's won a lot of games and didn't get paid a lot. This is not Kirk Cousins in Washington. He got a lousy offer from Washington. A poorly run franchise, by the way. Washington's general manager didn't even know the name of Kirk Cousins. He called him Kurt instead of Kirk. They butchered his. The GM didn't even respect his name. It wasn't the same deal. They didn't make him this kind of offer. They didn't give him this kind of respect. Dak's been respected. He's gotten great support all the way down the line. And finally, here comes the day. And according to Jane Slater, he came rushing back in the end. And they're like, listen, man, we don't have time to get this thing done. This is on Dak. This is on Dak. Nobody gets everything. Michael Jordan didn't. Howard Stern didn't. Oprah didn't. LeBron doesn't. You don't get everything. Taking four instead of five made a ton of sense. Instead of worrying about, hey, I want to get back into the market sooner. How about just do a Mahomes and say, yeah, I'm going to take a little less, but I like the stability. I mean, Dak is a fourth round quarterback. I mean, $100 million guaranteed and with the biggest brand, you know how many commercials Dak's going to get? I mean, if Mike McCarthy and Dak work, and there's likelihood they may work, it may click. Dak's going to make so much money. He's going to be on so many billboards and so many vitamin waters and so many nutrient drinks. And he'll be on face of a shoe company. And I just think I think this is on Dak. Nobody gets everything. Everybody's got to cave to a billionaire occasionally. Everybody. Howard, MJ, I mean, everybody. LeBron, everybody's caving a little. I mean, I thought Andrew Luck, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. He could never get the right GM, didn't get the right coach. I mean, Brady, oh, he got Belichick. Never had the weapons Peyton Manning had. Brett Favre was great. He got a lot of stuff. He never had great weapons, never had an owner. To me, this is on Dak and his agent.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, let me talk about Derrick Henry signed a contract yesterday, and it's a good contract. Doesn't make him one of the top three or four highest paid running backs in the NFL. And people be like, whoa, 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 whoa. One of the things I see the media do a lot is recency bias. That whatever's happened in the last 12 months, that's everything. That's the definitive truth. I like Derrick Henry, and I think he really aligns with what Tennessee is trying to do. It's a physical football team. That's Mike Vrabel's DNA, and I think Derrick Henry fits them, and I'm glad he's there. But here's the actual truth on Derrick Henry. He was close to a middle second-round pick. He was only really the guy at Alabama for 1 year. He didn't start for the Titans for the first 2 years. By the third year, he was splitting time early, and he can't catch the ball much. He's not really a threat to catch the ball. Zeke in Dallas, McCaffrey with Carolina, and Saquon Barkley were all top eight picks. They were better NFL prospects. They're all significantly better catchers of the football out of the backfield in an increasingly passing league. They're better players. They are. And they're better prospects, and they should be paid higher, and they all are. Remember, what you get paid, there is a timing aspect here. Right now, David Johnson makes more money. Le'Veon Bell makes more money. Le'Veon Bell's probably going to spend his last year with the Jets, whereas Derrick Henry's going to be for the Titans for several years. But Derrick Henry's had a great last 19 games. That's a little more than a season. In the 19 games, he's been a bull. He's averaged 112 yards a game. And with Ryan Tannehill, I like the fact you have a real big-time running back. It's nice. I don't think Tannehill's a game-changer. But, well, Colony was very good in the playoffs. Those games are not on the schedule. You have no idea if you're getting into the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's 0-2 in the playoffs. But this time, next year, he'll have a brand-new contract if he's 0-3 in the playoffs. I'm paying my guys. Can they win the division? On the 16 games the NFL gives me, is my guy instrumental in winning my division and getting to the playoffs, and as an owner, getting me a home game in the playoffs? Because I can pay for a lot of contracts with that extra home game where I make $15 million, $20 million a home game. On average, that's what Dallas makes way more than that, but you make $10, $12, $15 million, $20 million a home game. You get me a home game, but those aren't guaranteed on the schedule. I'm not paying you for a great playoff run of two games. I can't pay you for that. That's not on the schedule. Patrick Mahomes was going to get money regardless if he won that Super Bowl or didn't. Lamar Jackson's going to get that money. I mean, Russell Wilson was one and done out of the playoffs this year. He wasn't getting paid for that Super Bowl. He was getting paid because he carries a stagnant Jurassic offense, and he's always, always a winning quarterback. They're always in the hunt for the division title. Derrick Henry's a really good fit in Tennessee. But this guy didn't start for 2 years, split time his third year, and has had a great last 19 games. I'm not breaking the bank, and I think there's risk to this because he carries the ball a lot and takes a real pounding. But he is uniquely built. I've never quite seen a running back like this, but it is running back. But when you look at the money, there are going to be a lot of running backs making more than this in the next 2 or 3 years. I'm okay with that. He is not Zeke, McCaffrey, or Saquon Barkley as a prospect, as a pass catcher. And to me, Zeke does everything well. Everything well. Saquon Barkley, better than I thought, does everything well. McCaffrey may not be a world-class blocker, but he's the best pass-catching running back perhaps I've ever seen. Derrick Henry, not a threat in that category. And that category increasingly matters.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Myles Garrett's a pass rusher for the Cleveland Browns. Yesterday, he got a massive deal, $100 million guaranteed, $25 million a year. That's a ton of money for a defensive player. But he's great. But what I saw on Twitter yesterday, and I, unlike Bill Gates or Barack Obama or Warren Buffett, nobody's messing with my Twitter. I wasn't on it much yesterday, but I saw a lot of people saying, oh, great, he gets rewarded. The last time I saw this guy, he was beating somebody over the head with a helmet, and this is his reward. Well, let's be honest now. He was suspended 6 games. That's like almost half a season. He didn't get off scot-free. He was suspended 6 games. But the bigger question is, should I now judge Myles Garrett due to one absolutely regrettable moment? All of you that wanted to cancel Drew Brees, because in my opinion, certainly not everybody, he was tone deaf. But if you look at the resume of Drew Brees and his generosity to the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana, if you look at his charities, if you look at Drew Brees' resume, he's a great guy who his teammates, and that matters as a quarterback, you need your O-line and your receivers to have your back. His teammates said, dude, you're tone deaf. It wasn't the media that forced anybody to do that. It was his teammates to Drew Brees that said, bro, got to have our back here on this thing. Got to have our back on Black Lives Matter. And Drew went, I missed on that one. Stop blaming the media for that. It was teammates going to a social platform and calling him out. And he read it, and he heard it, and he acted. But I don't want to cancel Drew Brees. I don't judge people on one moment, one time. I judge them over time. I don't judge people on one bad moment. We all have them, especially people who are risk takers, who go for it. You play in a high-energy game like the NFL, it is every play is survival. Myles Garrett lost it and was suspended. I'd still pay him. He's a kid, first of all. He's only 24. He's got 6 great years left. He averages almost a sack a game. He was well-liked at Texas A&M. I looked it up this morning, and he was voted captain 2nd year for the Cleveland Browns. We've got to stop judging people on one time instead of overtime. He's a good dude, made a horrible mistake. Drew Brees is an all-time great guy. He was tone deaf. His teammates called him out. And that's just my opinion. Doesn't mean he was, but in my opinion, he was. He apologized. I'm not going to cancel Myles Garrett, and I'm not canceling Drew Brees.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So Dak Prescott did not sign a long-term deal. Never thought he would. Never thought he was worth huge money. I thought Dallas was more than gracious. But here's the interesting part here. So, again, the NFL's been this, you know, this comet. Up. The salary cap's coming down because of COVID. They're not going to have fans in the stands. So the money's coming down. But Dak's salary now, next 2 years, if he remains a Cowboy, is going up. Here's the way the franchise tag works. So Dak got franchise tag. He's going to make $31.4 million. The way the franchise tag works, if you do it again, you get a minimum of a 20% raise. That means Dak would make $37.7 million next year. And you're like, okay, just one more big year. But the salary cap's coming way down, and Dak's going to potentially be at $38 million. That's minimum. That's guaranteed. That's the way that the franchise tag works. So now you get into a situation where you ask, could they just move off him? They don't want to pay $38 million bucks for Dak. That's that. You're getting into Mahomes money here. It's certainly possible. So the question is, what's the market for Dak? I do not think it's huge. I told you, I didn't think Cam's market was going to be huge. I didn't think Jameis' market was going to be huge. I told you the Teddy Bridgewater market would be bigger than you think. So it's a bigger market for Dak than Jameis Winston, who's immature and makes too many bad judgment. Dak doesn't have that. I think it's a bigger market than Cam Newton. He is younger than Cam, healthier than Cam, and more focused than Cam. I think it's a bigger market than Derek Carr, and I think there's a market for Derek Carr, but it's a bigger market. He wins more than Derek Carr, and I think he's a little better and a little bit more of a gamer in big spots. So there's a market there. But how big is the market? I'll give you an example. We know that New England and Cam, well, we know Jacksonville wants a quarterback. Jacksonville's not paying $38 million. Jacksonville wants to go with a higher ceiling guy and a cheaper guy. They'll go the college route. New England probably is looking at a quarterback in the draft if they can get there. Belichick doesn't pay quarterbacks that. So they're going to go the college route, the Stidham route, the cheaper route, or the higher ceiling route. They're not going to go Dak. So just take Jacksonville and New England out of it. There's a couple other arguments to be made, but here is the spot to me that is so obvious, and he's even a perfect fit, because I think Dak's a grinder, and this is a grinding franchise, the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts, like the Cowboys, if Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin, who they drafted top of the second round, pops, and I think he will, there's your Zeke. They also have, like the Cowboys, the best young offensive line in the NFL. A lot of what the Colts have for Dak next year is what the Cowboys had. Great O-line, potentially great running back, and an offensive-minded former NFL quarterback as head coach. The difference is, I think the GM of the Colts is better, Chris Ballard, and I think the defense is actually pretty close to being interesting, very interesting in Indy. I like their defense. We'll see if the draft picks hit. We'll see if the corners hit. But Indianapolis makes a ton of sense. Here's the other thing. Indy doesn't pay anybody. You know who they pay? And they're both coming off the books. Phillip Rivers makes $25 million and Jacoby Brissett makes $21. $46 million is coming off the books in Indianapolis in 1 year at quarterback. Could you give Dak $36 million? Absolutely. If you gave Dak that offensive line, that GM, that coach, the improving defense, and Jonathan Taylor, the running back out of Wisconsin, hits, you got yourself a playoff team. Is it a Super Bowl team? I don't know. But it's a playoff team. It is a playoff team. So I do not think the market is huge for Dak. But I know if I'm his agent, Indianapolis, Dak's a grinder. He's a company guy. Indianapolis doesn't want a lot of wave makers. That is perfect. And I feel that Dak in Indianapolis is a lot like Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. We like Minnesota's defense. We like their coach. We like their GM. We like their structure. There was a lot we liked about Minnesota, but we're like, you know, you're playing Aaron Rodgers twice a year. You got to get somebody who can compete. And nothing against Case Keenum, but they'd kind of bounced around. They couldn't find the quarterback. Never feels like, and they got very solid B quarterback Kirk Cousins. Some days he's B plus, kind of a B guy. That's how I view Dak Prescott. I do think Dak's better than Kirk Cousins. Not by a long shot. Doesn't throw quite the nice ball. Not quite as accurate, but I think overall Dak's a little better. Indianapolis makes a ton of sense. They got two big. The only salaries that are big, both coming off the books, and they're at the position. So that one makes sense. So there is a market for him. It's bigger than Jameis. It's bigger than Derek Carr. I think it'll be closer to the Kirk Cousins market. The Jets made him a huge offer. Denver made him a big offer. Minnesota made him a big offer. About three teams, two to three teams.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Mike Fisher's been covering the Dallas Cowboys for 30 years. SI.com. He's got a voice on radio in Dallas as well as 105.3, The Fan in Dallas. He talks, people listen, got great insight. But best of all today, he's going to join us live now. He covers the Dallas Cowboys. He's lived in Texas for a long time. And let's bring in Mike via the Coward Global Satellite Network. From this point forward on my show, if you cover the Cowboys, if you don't come on my show in a cowboy hat, I am not even interested. This is the, with a tractor behind him. This is great, Mike. How are you?
It's not my farm. It's not my tractor. It's not even my hat. But yippee-ki-yay, Colin Coward.
God, it's so great. I love this. All right, let's start with this. you know, Dak's been given a lot. A well-capitalized franchise, stability, a great O-line, a great running back, good weapons, an offensive-minded coach, now another one. They offered him 5 years. He wanted four. Could I make the argument? Even Mahomes didn't get all the money he wants. Brady doesn't get the weapons he wants. Russell Wilson never gets the offensive line he wants. Aaron Rodgers doesn't get the defense he wants. Boy, Dak's been given a lot. They offered him $100 million guaranteed. He should have signed it. Is that a fair criticism?
Yeah, what we've reported for quite some time is $35 million APY over 5 years with $106 million in virtual guarantees or something over that. I never begrudge the player for saying, I want everything I can get. And Dak Prescott here is betting on himself. That's the phrase that he often uses, and he'll use it again this year. Colin, here's the trick here, though, and I'm talking to some people this morning, and I don't know that this is all set in stone yet, but if there's no 2020 NFL season, these franchise contracts toll, meaning they jump ahead and begin again in 2021, which leaves Dak Prescott and others on the tag in financial limbo for this year if there's no games. And then he starts over again with this whole process, not with the 37.7, which would be the second year of a tag. He'd be first year of a tag next year. So not only is he betting on himself, Dak Prescott, he's betting there's going to be an NFL season.
Does this mean, because the salary cap's going to come down, obviously, Mike, and the way the salary cap can work, you know, Dak's going to be making a lot of money. If we do have a season and he gets paid $31.5 million, and then next year he'd be guaranteed 20% above that, 37.7, as the salary cap comes down, you start looking at those numbers and go, that is a big number if he's good, not great. Is there an impending divorce? Could you see this thing not materializing 1 year from now? He's out.
Yeah, first of all, to the financial side of it, I know there's some cap people on various teams that don't think it's going to go down because of the COVID-19 loss revenue. They think it'll stay flat. So let's just go with that.
Okay.
Even if it stays flat at $38 million on a cap that's $198 million, I believe that's 20%. Now, there's no magic number that says, oh, this percentage means you can't win. That's not true. But if you're paying 20% to one player, any player, it will mean that you'll have to start throwing people overboard. It'll mean that your guaranteed money, big guys, and the Cowboys have 11 of those, they'll stay guaranteed money. But the middle class will be out. So you will have a very top-heavy roster. Then you'll have a whole bunch of guys at the bottom who all your draft picks better make the team. They're going to have to make the team because the middle class will be thrown out. To the divorce part of this, certainly it's premature there. Dak Prescott's comments to our friend Jane Slater and others is about positivity. He's blessed. He's grateful, and I believe to a great degree he is. I fear, if I'm Cowboys Nation, that what's about to happen here, worst case scenario, is what happened to Kirk Cousins and the Washington franchise. Yes, they paid him, kind of. Yes, they liked him, kind of. But it was a semi-commitment from both parties. And I wonder if inside that building it didn't cause players, coaches, scouts, administrators to say, so are we kind of committed to him? Is he kind of committed to us? Do we really have faith in him? And the other thing that can happen is, because Dak Prescott is beloved in this locker room, the other 52 guys, 54 guys, 89 guys could look around and say, now, wait a minute. If the Joneses aren't going to take care of that good soldier, how do I know they're going to take care of me?
Yeah, no, some stuff like this can affect locker rooms. I don't know how much power Mike McCarthy has, but good Lord, Matt LaFleur doesn't have Mike McCarthy's resume, and even he, if you watch the Packers draft, appeared to have enough power to get Jordan Love and not get Aaron Rodgers a wide receiver. So Matt LaFleur looks like he's reshaping the Green Bay offense to be more run-based, less Aaron-based, and I think McCarthy's got at least that much power in Dallas. Was he banging on the table for Dak? Do I know that?
We have my radio station, 105.3 The Fan. We call it Tolo. Turn it on, leave it on. And that's what I do with the Colin Cowherd Show. So I am familiar from earlier in the week with your views on that, because I Tolo your show. I don't think you're on point there. You're right about the power. Mike McCarthy has more power here than he ever had in Green Bay, personnel-wise power. This is a we thing here, contrary to Jerry Jones's critics, just like Jason Garrett had a great deal of power. But I think Mike McCarthy is an advocate of this quarterback. That doesn't mean he goes in and says, give him $2 million more. I don't think he did that. I don't think that's his place. But he has, on the record and behind the scenes too, talked about Dak Prescott being a franchise quarterback, a Super Bowl caliber winning quarterback. And Colin, I would argue with you over a beer that Mike McCarthy's probably disappointed a little bit today, because he may have signed on here for the 5-year deal thinking, hey, I got one thing here. I got a quarterback. And now you've kind of got a quarterback.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just laying it out. Indianapolis doesn't pay many people. Chris Ballard is really smart. He pays three people. Two of them are quarterbacks, Brissett and Phillip, and they're both off the books. And if I'm the agent, I'm Tart Archer for Dak. I'm like, listen, that O-line, that defense, that GM, that coach, that looks like to me of the teams that would be looking for somebody and could afford 30 plus million, Indianapolis looks really good for Dak and the Colts. Is there another team out there, if he went on the market, that there's parts of it that are attractive?
I think one of the odds makers has put out Jacksonville as a future destination. Now, I don't see it, but again, you bet against odd makers, you end up living in a cardboard box under a bridge, so I don't do that either. I think what the agent Todd France here did was attempt to do the shortest term deal that he found to be realistic. The salary cap is going to explode after the 2022 season, as I'm sure you know, because the TV contract is going to expire. And the new TV contract, maybe driven by Jerry Jones, will go up, up, up. It'll explode upward. Salaries will explode upward. And so Dak Prescott wants a bite of that apple as soon as possible. In that sense, I think the agent Todd France did fine here. Keep this in mind. We're from a certain age, Colin, you and I, not that I would pretend that you're quite my age, when, oh, you better get that guaranteed money because what if you break your neck and you never play football again? That was certainly true in a time when players made $1 million. But if you make $31 million guaranteed, and for some reason you blow out a shoulder and never play football again, you have insurance for the rest of your life. So that's another bet on yourself for Dak Prescott. 31 this year, 38 next year, that's $69 million in full guarantees, assuming he is on the field and there's games. That's not a bad bet.
But finally, one of the reasons I love going to you and going to reporters around the country is because you can listen to your local sports radio. You're really in the kind of the belly of the beast here. And Dallas Sports Talk Radio is very popular. There's a lot of listeners. One of the cities in America where millions listen. You turn on radio in Dallas today. What are they saying about the Dak, Jerry, no big long contract? What's the pulse of the city this morning?
Oh, I think there's two pulses, one for each wrist. both of them thinking about slitting themselves. One is Dak's greedy. And listen, when we look at, and this is an oldest trick in the book in talk radio, and you've done it, we've all done it. What about the firemen? What about the teachers? I mean, you're right. $31 million is too much for one human athlete to make. At the same time, Jerry Jones is always going to get beat up here, even though he wasn't really the point man. He did get involved late. I think, though, in the end, Colin, there's a certain degree of, if you want to be fair here, that both sides kind of get what they want. The Cowboys can afford Dak Prescott. He's already under the cap at $31 million, and they have $11 million left, so they can do some more things. And Dak Prescott gets to be with his team, his guys, and will get another bite of the apple. So as much as in talk radio or even here, we want to come up with some villain. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's black? Who's white? Who's good? Who's ugly? In fact, they both share the blame for not getting done a deal that they both publicly promised they would get done.
Yeah. All right. So I want you to go calf rope or something and finish your day because you look the part. You know, you just have to do the part, Mike Fisher. And what are you going to do the rest of the day wearing that outfit?
I got some sheriffing to do.
That is funny.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, it's great to have him in. We got a lot of time with Rob Parker today. He's a professor, adjunct professor at USC, Odd Couple with Chris Broussard. Always, always enlightening, incredibly passionate. Rob Parker joining me via the Coward Global Satellite Network. We'll get into his fancy jacket story in a couple minutes. Okay, my takeaway on Dak. Listen, They put this thing on the table a year ago, $106 million guaranteed. I'd argue he made a mistake. He's not Mahomes. I mean, did Dak just make a big mistake here?
Here's my issue, Colin, and you know how hard it is to get a franchise quarterback in the NFL. Ask yourself, why weren't the Cowboys willing to give him just the 4 years, make the guy happy? If he's really that guy, why are you, everybody else, all the other quarterbacks who were drafted in his class, they all got paid. Carson Wentz took an ambulance to the contract signing, and he got the deal. I mean, let's just be honest. Why aren't they paying him? Colin, the longer you wait, the more it costs. Jerry Jones is trying to solidify his legacy. I know he's in the Hall of Fame, but you know he needs to win one more Super Bowl, right? Without the Jimmy Johnson, so that people could say, all right, Jerry did his thing. And now you're giving doubt to your franchise quarterback because you weren't willing to just give him the 4 years. It doesn't make sense if you're going to sign him next year. What is the holdup? It only costs you more. So I don't get the reasoning behind it. I think the Cowboys made a mistake. Now, it's one thing. If you don't believe in him and you want to see more, Colin, that makes sense. But I don't understand. If you really believe he's your guy, you should have signed him.
Okay, so does this mean we have an impending divorce in a year?
It could happen. It just could happen unless they decide to give him, what is that, $38 million the next year on a franchise tag, and then after that, or he could become a free agent, right? So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm not that high on Dak, and I just wonder, when you look at his numbers, Colin, especially against the good team, since his first year, his record against teams that are 500 or better is 6-17, and his touchdown to interception ratio is 25-25, nothing special. Last year against teams over 500, Dak was 1-6, 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, nothing special. And if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, those are the teams you got to beat in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. So I just question whether or not, why weren't the Cowboys willing to bend to make your quarterback happy when they're giving money to everybody else?
Well, I think you answered your own question. I think there's – I said this earlier. When Jerry Jones got in his private jet and they could not get a single touchdown drive against New England or Philadelphia last year, and they had much better offensive lines than both, running back, wide receiver – and they could, Jerry Jones got on that private jet driving from flying from Boston to Texas and flying from Philadelphia to Texas. And I really believe, I could be crazy, that's the last games we saw Dak, and Jerry said, what more can I give him? We couldn't get a touchdown drive in either of those games. And maybe that's recency bias, but I think that's something, is it not? Decisions are made on private jets all the time, Rob.
No doubt. And you could imagine with the division on the line in Philadelphia, right? They would have won the division 3 out of 4 years.
Yep.
I mean, Carson Wentz was doing it with tape, glue, and ice cream sticks. and they won. I mean, think about the team that he was playing with. It was ridiculous. And all they had to do was win that game, Colin, and they would have had a chance. Remember, there were people who picked the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. Chris Broussard on the radio show picked the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. They didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of talk. You really made me think last week when you said Mahomes should have taken every penny. There's no guarantees on anything. The Chiefs may make a bunch of bad draft picks. There's a lot of talk now about Kansas City being a dynasty, and I kind of roll my eyes at it. I've said before, I think they're going to win one more, and I love Andy Reid, and I think Mahomes is great. What do you make of the Chiefs dynasty talk?
I think it's so premature and so ridiculous. I think we've seen in this league, Colin, in the last 20 years, I'll give you 3 teams and quarterbacks where people thought, of course, they're going to win multiple championships. Kurt Warner and the greatest show on turf with the St. Louis Rams.
Yep.
They only won one. Aaron Rodgers, right, when they won in 2010, they haven't been back. They've had a couple chances, but they haven't won or been back to the Super Bowl. And you could also take a look at Russell Wilson with that defense, the Legion of Boom. How many did they get? They only got one. And let's be fair, even with the Tom Brady and all the Super Bowls they won, Tom Brady went 9 seasons without winning a Super Bowl in between the 3 in the beginning of his career and the 3 at the end. There were 9 years where they didn't win the Super Bowl. So this whole notion that they won one and now the Kansas City Chiefs, which hadn't won in 50 years, is now going to rip off 3 or 4, I don't buy it. And let's talk about the competition level. Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, was the best quarterback in the NFL a year ago. Colin, for all that everybody talks about Mahomes, do you know he didn't lead the quarterback position in any major statistical category last year? Not in touchdowns. Touchdowns went from 50 to 26, and then people say, oh, he was hurt. You can't say that. You ready? He played 14 games, had 26 touchdowns. Drew Brees played 11 games and had 27. So you can't use that as an excuse. And go look at the numbers. You have Deshaun Watson. You have all these young guys. Then you have the veteran guys who are still, Colin, looking to add a championship or two on their way out. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady down in Tampa. This is not a layup. For people to jump on this bandwagon that they're going to now not lose again and they can't be beaten, I think is ridiculous.
By the way, Zeke's upset in Dallas. He's all over Twitter today. They were just ranking scouts. GMs did an anonymous poll to rank the best running backs. He finished 3rd. One scout said he's the 11th best running back in the NFL, Zeke of the Cowboys. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, I don't know about 10th or 11th. That seems kind of low. But I'll be honest, despite the numbers, and I saw what he put out on Twitter and talk about put respect to his name, he didn't, Colin, just from the eye test, he didn't seem like the same running back last year.
Yeah,
I don't remember him winning a game on his own or doing something where you say, man, look at the Cowboys. You know, they got a running back who can win even when the quarterback's not playing well. I just didn't see that, and I think we saw that earlier in his career, and I think it's an eye test. Not just the – sometimes stats can be empty because it depends on when you get them.
Yeah. So we always ask, you're America's most frugal sports writer. You pay for nothing except trips to the continent. You've gone to six continents you've been to?
No, all of them.
Okay.
All 7.
Okay. So this jacket, tell us the story about the jacket you're wearing because it is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Colin. This is one of my favorites. $3,895 was the ticket. And I fell in love with it. I tried it on. I was like, it fits like a glove. It was marked down to $1,000. And then it was another 40% off. So I paid $599. I am thrilled. I love getting a deal, especially when it looks great on me. I mean, I'm thrilled with this jacket.
You look fantastic. He's got a podcast on the Herd Podcast Network, Rob Parker, plus the radio show, The Odd Couple, my friend. I love having you on. I always appreciate you stopping by, and thank you so much.
Always, Colin. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.